Genesis 45:1-28. We now come to the point where Joseph makes himself known to his brothers. And this is a wonderful passage dealing with reconciliation between these brothers. And that's the subject here. Reconciliation. There's been a huge amount of baggage here. Betrayal, deceit, lies, cheating. All kinds of corruption have gone on. But the time has come when these brothers now have shown their repentance and sorrow and grief for Joseph to make himself known. Very, very simply, but it speaks volumes. This man openly, generously, emotionally receives back his brothers. He loses all control. He weeps, he cries out. He wept so loudly the Egyptians heard him. He argues with them, he pleads with the brothers, urging them to forgive themselves, to forgive one another, for he forgives them. His love toward them is practical and demonstrated in common sense application of truth to them and advice to them and counsel to them. It's not just lip reconciliation. This man receives them back generously, warmly, without any recrimination. As I say, he's practical. Get my father down here, go back, take the stuff with you. You've got the carts, you can go. We'll give you the materials. And he loads them with goods, excessively generous with Benjamin. But it's all so convincing to these brothers. There's no blame, there's no recrimination. Whilst they were hardened and deaf and wouldn't listen and had no repentance, then he was stern toward them. But he's broken them down. And now his arms are open to them. And he receives them most warmly. This is a picture of reconciliation between brothers. It's an actual experience of it. Now the lessons for us in the New Covenant are clear. Families need reconciliation. And where there is this repentance, where there is this restoration, let the reconciliation be utterly complete and generous and no recrimination. Churches need reconciliation. In discipline, there are some strong and stern things which have to be done. But on repentance, there should be the fullest reconciliation. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 particularly, and then go into 2 Corinthians, and see the reconciliation that comes, and the forgiveness, and the warmth that is expressed to the man who repents. There's a hardness in the sin, but there is a softness, if I can put it that way, a warmth in the reception, in the reconciliation. The reconciliation between friends, the reconciliation in families, the reconciliation in churches. But of course, and I will close with this at the end of this discourse, there is the great reconciliation between God and sinners, but I'll come to that. Let me go on with the reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers. Joseph did not gloss over their sins, but it was all behind them now. Notice how he argues God's doctrine, God's sovereignty. Now here's a great mystery. These brothers had sinned. I'm not sure that Joseph was altogether innocent. But whatever the sins, God was overruling, ordaining, not simply allowing, but ordaining all things for his glory and for the good of his people here. And of course that long-term aim that he had in mind. The everlasting covenant that Christ would set up, the new covenant, when all the elect will be saved in one great body for eternity. Joseph here argues this sovereignty of God. It doesn't excuse the brother's sin. It doesn't excuse all the years of betrayal and despising and rejection and deceit and all the rest of it. The lies and all the rest. But it's not only that God overrules, he does overrule. But he undertakes, he governs, he rules in everything. He's applying his sovereignty in working his purpose out. Now we must not abuse this doctrine. It does not excuse our sins. It doesn't excuse yours or mine. But it does mean that God is sovereign and he is governing all things for the glory of his name and for the good of his people and for the furtherance of his cause. Let us show our practical love based upon the sovereign doctrine of God. God is sovereign. Let us therefore act as accountable to him and respond to his love. And how wonderful is reconciliation in families, between friends who have become enemies, in churches. How marvelous is this? We see this pictured in the parable in Luke 15 with the prodigal son. The prodigal is brought back home to the father, and reconciliation is absolute. And yet the elder brother will not go in. Look at the bitterness he retains. Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers. And Joseph is a peacemaker here. Reconciliation is a very wonderful thing. Jacob, when he hears it, is stunned. Verse 26. Jacob was stunned. He could hardly take it in. What a blessing reconciliation is. But as I hinted just now, there is a deeper reconciliation than all this. But before I leave this subject, I address believers here. Is there reconciliation needed? Is there repentance needed? Is there forgiveness needed? Are you lodging any bitter grudge in your heart, brother, sister? Let us come to Christ and have it washed out. And where there is genuine repentance, may we have a sense of full forgiveness and a sense of reconciliation. May we learn by Joseph and his brothers here. This applies in dealings between friends, it applies in families, and applies in churches. It's a grievous thing when churches are riven with unreconciled members and friends. May God help us to learn from Genesis 45 and act upon it. But as I say, as I hinted, there is, in fact, a greater reconciliation. And it is the reconciliation between God and sinners. You see, we're at enmity with God, and God is at enmity with us. We're under the wrath of God by nature. But there's a wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 11 on. Let me read just some of the verses to you. It shows us that God is a great God of sovereign power and holiness, but he's also a God of mercy and love, and extends his arms towards sinners in reconciliation. Let me just read the passage. God, Paul writing to believers, says this: God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Brother and sister, we have been reconciled to God through Christ. Joseph and his brothers is a pale picture of this. We have been reconciled through the blood of Christ. But God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And what is that ministry? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And now I am going to make this appeal in this short discourse. Unbeliever listening to me, this is what God is offering to you. This is what God is saying to you. This is how God is pleading with you, even now through my feeble words. Listen, we implore you. I implore you. I urge you. I beg you. I plead with you. On Christ's behalf, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God. What is he talking about? What am I talking about? God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Now that's the believer speaking. And if you will come to Christ and you will trust him, you'll be able to say that God made Christ sin for me. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. But you must repent and come to Christ and receive this reconciliation before you can say it. God made him who had no sin to be sin, or a sin offering in the place of sin, for us, on our behalf. Come to Christ and you'll be able to say it. You'll be able to know it and experience it. So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, going into chapter 6, I urge you then, we urge you, Paul says, as God's fellow worker now, I am urging you, do not receive God's grace in vain. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Learn from Genesis 45. Learn from the pale picture of reconciliation you see there between brothers. Learn the real reconciliation. You need to be at peace with God. Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and in no other way. So trust him now, my friend. I urge you, I plead with you, and receive this reconciliation in Jesus Christ. May his blood wash away your sin, his righteousness clothe you, and be at peace with God. Cast yourself upon him now, and you will be at peace with God, reconciled to him.